Hey there, people of the interwebs. It's me, Brandon Noel. If you want to support this podcast and all our other videos and art, and you know, we can't do this without supporters like yourself, please visit patreon.com/destinycomics. You'll get the access to the podcasts, original art, upcoming videos. And from moving forward, everything's going to be up first on the podcast or on Patreon before it goes live anywhere else. If you like supporting the arts, if you like listening to our podcast about books, if you like me rambling on about art and comic books, please go to patreon.com/destinycomics. For $5 a month, you can get, join our Bookmark of the Month Club, where every month you're going to get mailed a hand-painted bookmark because you're a voracious reader. Now, this, episode, we are discussing Ready Player One. I do believe we talk a little bit about the movie, but, the movie's so different from the book that I think we mostly stick to the book. Ernest Cline wrote a very well-developed, well-rounded book. We're going to mostly focus our discussion on the book. A little bit into Ready Player Two as well. I was the only one who read Ready Player Two, so you can get my thoughts on that as well. I hope you enjoy this discussion. We, as a group, we've been recording since 2016. Every time we get together, we have a little brunch and try to theme that meal with the book. We had a fun time with this one. I hope you enjoy our discussion of Ready Player One.
Laugh has been described as a chuckle.
Right.
the British guy, I know.
Yeah, that one. British teenager.
Do you feel the need to read it?
Check it out from the library.
Support your local.
And we are the bookies. All right, we are the bookies. I am Brandon Noel. I'm
Justin Stallard.
Bonnie Stallard.
Wayne Abraham.
David McFarlane.
Maylene Noel.
And we are the bookies. This month we are reading Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. Justin, this was your book?
Yes.
You want to give a brief plot synopsis?
Not so distant future, 2044, society is immersed in this online virtual reality, and the creator of it, when he died, put into his will a way to get all of his fortune and controlling interest in his company, but they have to find the Easter egg in the simulation, which is called the Oasis. And so a story is of a young Wade Watts, yes, as he works his way through game levels and espionage and stuff like that to make it to the Easter egg at the end and win the whole shebang.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So why'd you put this in the movie drawer?
Well, I saw the movie first, and I'm like, oh, that's fine. And then then at the thing it said, based on such and such a book, and I think, okay, I'll try it. And once I read the book and realized how different it was from the movie, and all the 70s and 80s references, because, you know, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and it was just so full of the little
nerdy, geeky,
everything that any gamer, comic book person.
Everything that I grew up with.
Yeah, you know, all sorts of stuff that I grew up with is in, you know, they make reference to so many little things. You know, from Cap'n Crunch to video games, Pac-Man, books, mm-hmm. and manga, and just so much. And it was just really enjoyable. It kept my attention through the entire book. I didn't really want to put it down. So I thought I should inflict it on everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
Thank you. So, pros, favorite part, favorite character? All-around positives.
All-around positives. It has a really good character development. I really enjoyed the... there's so much.
Brain is overwhelmed.
Yes. And I really should think about this more before we start these things, but I always forget.
You can say you just enjoyed everything in the book.
I enjoyed it, you know. In some ways, it's you're like, well, it wouldn't take society very much for our society today to go over the edge like that, you know. With so much, because in the book, all business is done in the Oasis for the most part. You know, the people, like it's described in the book, the people will. They live there, they work there, they get married there, and it's all a virtual simulation. And it just, I don't know.
Captivating. Who's your favorite character?
I liked Wade.
Yeah.
And amazing. I liked H. The interaction they have is... I found interesting, especially when he finds out that his friend is not a he but a she. It got a little awkward, you know, and
not for long.
But not for long, yeah. What else? I don't know, Bunny.
Well, I liked, you know, talking about that with H and Wade. I loved, you know, he's sitting there and they're trying to figure it out because they've met in person. And then she smiles. He says something and she smiles. And it's that same Cheshire Cat grin that his buddy in the Oasis had. And he realized, no, this matters. Like, it doesn't matter that she's not a dude, you know? Like, this is my friend. This is my best friend. You know, we've done all this stuff together, and it was a really neat moment. I liked how he broke into IOI and everything, and that's so different from the movie, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So different from the movie. And so I was like, oh, okay, and how's he gonna, oh, okay, all right, oh, wow, you know, like he stole all that stuff. And one of my favorite bits is right when they're at Ogden's place, the great and powerful Og. They're at his house in Oregon, and everybody else is hooked up, and he's about to get hooked up and go in, and they're going to do this big showdown, right?
The final climax.
Final countdown, yeah. And he asks Og the question that Og had never answered. And you realize at first he didn't know. So he didn't have an answer. Mm-hmm. But for the last 5 years, since Holloway passed away and everything, he did know, because Holloway told him right before he died why their friendship ended. So now he had an answer, but he still hadn't told anyone.
Yeah.
And you know, I had a moment where I wondered, did he know it was going to be important? That was going to be a key that Wade needed? You know? Because...
It kind of was.
Yeah, he might not have, because, Kira didn't work, and he might not have kept on about her. He might have just gone through other things and not figured out. No, she was the one he loved. She was the most important. He never called her Kira. He called her by her character's name.
Yeah,
and so if he had, if Og hadn't told him, he was jealous because Kira and I got married, and he always loved her, and who wouldn't love her? But that's why he stopped talking to me. That's what happened. You know, would Wade have figured things out? You know, I mean, it was important, you know, and it makes you wonder, did Og know it was going to be important for him to tell him that? Or did he just feel like, I like this kid. I feel like I can tell him, like, I feel like he'll understand. I don't know, but you know,
it's just the way the story was going because it was about him.
Right. So it was, I mean, it was, you know, I liked that was a neat moment because it became so important. I liked the big red button. that was fun. I liked how we got the, this is something you told me you need to share about the quarter.
Oh yeah,
that's your favorite part. You've told me before. Talk about it.
The perfect Pac-Man game.
Yeah,
all that's,
I've never 100 I've never heard of that.
185 levels, yeah. I think it was. Mm-hmm. Every dot, every power up, every ghost, every fruit and bird and everything. And to get to the final thing to beat the score, and then at the end, the quarter that was glued to the machine fell off into his hand and automatically went into his inventory.
And he couldn't look at it, so he had no idea what it was. He couldn't look at it,
and because of that, he was able to
go on
and win because it was an extra life.
Yeah.
That was a good.
I liked how they did it in the movie too, but yeah, that was pretty cool in the book. Mm-hmm. I liked that. You know, he just happened to go through there, and why is there a replica here? There's already so many of them on that planet with all the hometowns, and he takes the time to look around and plug in the Pac-Man machine, and
because he was out of order.
Because it was out of order, but it wasn't plugged in, you know. So, I mean, it was a neat, like, you know, only one person's going to get this artifact. Because artifacts, they're one of a kind, and they can do different things. They can't be destroyed.
Typical things.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was really cool. I liked Artemis. I could identify, you know, the insecurities and things, like, you know, all girls go through. I think girls more than guys. Not that guys don't have insecurities. It's just the way society is. There's way more pressure on us to be perfect. So there's a lot more anxiety about meeting in person, and is he gonna like me in spite of the fact that I have this, you know, I'm all. She views herself as deformed and ugly, you know, because that's how she sees herself. And she was probably tormented by people in person for it. And so, you know,
like H.
What
she had, like purple blood.
She had one half of her face was purple port wine stain birthmark.
It's a real thing. I have a friend whose mom.
I've seen people with that.
Yeah.
And I mean, the same thing with H. Like, I mean, oh man, it sucked that her mom disowned her after all her mom's going on about prejudices, you know, and encouraging her daughter to pretend, like, instead of being she's a black female, but instead of being that, to put her persona as a white male so she can get through life. And then she comes out and her mom's like, I'm disowning you, you're gay, go away, you know. And you're like, dang, like, that sucks. So you can see why she was extra nervous about meeting Wade. But I love that their friendship was strong enough to overcome all of that. Like, it didn't even matter, we're friends, you know, we're good. So
she's like, you know, one of the guys.
She is one of the guys. They checked out girls together all the time.
I wonder why.
Right? And, you know, she's one of the guys. And he, you know, their friendship was great. I appreciated the friendship of the two guys who weren't really brothers, but
the
were brothers.
Show?
Yeah.
Shoto and
Daito. I was
Daito.
Really upset when Daito got killed. Like, literally killed in real life. Like, not just, you know,
his character.
Yeah. I also liked the robots. That was cool.
Yeah.
Because in the movie, it was just one of them had a robot or something.
Yeah, we missed
Iron Giant.
Well,
H had built the Iron Giant
in the movie.
Yeah,
and then
it wasn't supposed to be like that.
But and then did. Shoto had
a Gundam. And that really pissed me off because we also missed out on Leopardon, which is a deep cut.
Yeah. In the book, they do mention the Iron Giant as one of the robots
options
available.
But then H didn't get the Iron Giant.
But he didn't get the Iron Giant.
Yeah, and then, you know, I'm sorry, the movie screwed up.
there as far as that goes.
Besides not having multiple giant robots.
Yes.
Well, that's a negative.
That's a negative about the movie.
About the movie.
Yeah. It's a positive about the movie.
Since we're on just a positive came, moment.
Yeah, since it just came up, I just want to say we got screwed out of Mechagodzilla versus Ultraman.
Right?
That is a fight that I need to see.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Yeah. Would like to have seen that. But, yeah. So, I mean, I liked it. I enjoyed it.
But I think the reason why they didn't do a lot of things from the book is your average viewer wouldn't know what it is
nowadays.
No, with
Leopardon, probably not.
The Leopardon, no. That would have went over a lot of people's heads.
A lot of the book here is a lot of cult followings.
Yeah, real targeted audience as far as knowing the ins and outs of things.
It is.
Yeah.
That's why I know a lot about this book because I grew up with like almost all of the stuff in there. Yeah. And with the Iron Giant, that was a major cartoon movie, and a lot of kids were familiar with that, and that's probably why they put it in the movie, because it was a Steven Spielberg movie.
Well, also, I understand they actually couldn't get the rights to Ultraman.
Yeah, there's that too.
That was going to be my comment.
There was probably some copyright things there.
Like, not everyone signed on. Like, and the same thing happened with Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Right. Yeah.
Spielberg worked his magic in Who Framed Roger Rabbit and got almost everyone to play nice, except for Tom and Jerry and Popeye are not in Who Framed Roger Rabbit
because they couldn't get the rights.
That's lame.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Bonnie.
No, I think that was. Yeah, I'm good. Okay, Papa.
My favorite scene was the Pac-Man and quarter scene.
Yeah.
It was an intriguing scene for me, having played Pac-Man but not ever gotten very far.
Well, so do I.
Yeah.
But
it was horrible.
It was fun. It was a fun chapter to read.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he got the quarter and it went in his inventory and he didn't give it a second thought. And then they're about to go in the gate and the nuke gets set off.
Yeah, and the cataclysm.
Everyone.
In the whole sector.
And the whole sector.
Just like
half
the Oasis at that point because everybody's there.
And, except Wade is still there and it goes, bing, you have an extra life.
Mm-hmm. That was really cool.
Yeah,
he couldn't even get up to the gate.
At first.
Oh, I know. I was like, oh my god!
He's like, I'm here, but I got nothing.
He's like, all I have is the extra life. I have nothing.
Use my shoes, man.
Yeah, because the shoes were an artifact that couldn't be destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there was also, I'm not sure, there was the shield that shielded the castle. But I'm pretty sure
the orb. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm thinking as I think about it, in the game, you're different levels of whatever, and you need to be strictly a mage of level 99 to use it.
He died. That's why the orb itself wasn't necessarily destroyed. But
yeah. But I'm thinking that he wasn't qualified to actually use it because he wasn't a level 99 wizard.
A warrior mage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember playing Pac-Man, and all our friends would be jazzed if you got 100,000 points, let alone 3 million. We're like, yes, look at that, trying to beat that sucker.
He had to glitch like the last level to get the perfect score or whatever.
In the book it mentioned there's like a blank screen with 9 hidden pellets you had to get,
and
you'd have to
go through it.
You'd have to go through it, get the thing, and then die, and then get the next one and die.
And each time you had to die by a different colored ghost in a certain sequence.
Yeah,
and that's crazy. Insane.
It is insane.
who figures this stuff out?
Well, he even says in the book. He says in the book like only 8 people have ever done this.
Yeah.
Right. He managed to do it.
I really enjoyed the story overall. I love the fact that he's sitting in Latin class and it suddenly he gets that the teacher translates that one sentence and things go click, and like, it's here on the school world. Nobody looks here.
Yeah.
And he starts doing satellite scans and locates the Tomb of Horrors and goes over there. And
that was one of the problems with the movie was you had to know Latin to get the first freaking clue in the book. And they just dumbed it down so hard.
Because it would have bored people, I'm telling you. It would, the book, if they went by exactly by the book, it would have bored people. But for super nerds that know a whole bunch of this stuff, they would have loved it. And it would have been a very selective audience. So yeah. I think
Spielberg, a wider audience.
I think he did it right by doing it that way. He just took the premise of the story and made it a little bit more exciting.
The movie for what it was.
I did
it was
too.
So do I.
Still a really fun movie.
It made us want to read the book.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
And the book was great.
And there's things in the movie that weren't in the book that were just great, like the Chucky doll.
Oh my gosh.
I honestly don't remember. I saw the movie one time.
In the final battle.
I haven't watched it.
In the final battle, he pulls out a Chucky doll and throws it at the enemy, and he goes around stabbing people.
little Chucky.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
The IP in the movie is no joke.
Yeah.
But it's a different kind. Like, you're right. The IP in the book is more hardcore nerd.
Mm-hmm. No, most definitely.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Most definitely.
Yeah, and there's not one mention of The Shining in the book. But there's one whole chapter devoted to it in the movie.
Wayne, you were still sharing your stuff a bit.
Favorite character?
That's a hard one. I don't know whether it was Parsival or H.
Yeah.
I was kind of a hard choice between those two.
Yeah.
Because I really like H.
Yeah. H is a favorite.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I think I'd give H first place and...
Parsival second.
Parsival second. Or Wade, whichever name you're going to use.
Wade Watts.
So, I'll pass it on to you.
I'm sorry, just a real thing I just thought of. I didn't realize it until just a few weeks ago. Bonnie pointed out his name, Wade Owen Watt, is WoW.
For World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft.
That is funny. All right, well, I really enjoyed this book because almost everything in here I know and grew up with, because I guess I probably would have been the same age as the who's the guy that died in the Holiday as Holiday.
Holiday. Mm-hmm.
Basically, him and I were almost the same age. I mean, I didn't have all the computer skills that he did, but
played D&D.
Oh, most definitely. My very first computer was a Commodore 64, which was, you look at it now, and your remote control to your TV has more memory. And yeah, I played Dungeons and Dragons. I played all of the video games that they said in there. I mean, the little hidden room about it with adventure. I remember there was a brochure in the video game. If you find the little hidden room and you like mailed in a photo of the hidden room, if you beat it, and then you got like a prize, or you got like in a raffle to win a prize. And oh, believe me, man, that was hot stuff back then. And and the whistle for Captain Crunch, my mom wouldn't let us buy that because she would say, no, you're not going to get that because all you're going to do is dig for the whistle, try to dig for the whistle, and then you'll never eat the cereal. So we never got that. We ended up with like just generic crap.
We learned to turn the box upside down and open it from the bottom.
But I'd say my favorite character is definitely H. I really enjoyed H. I mean, I honestly don't even remember if H was a girl in the movie.
Yeah.
I only saw the movie.
A little bit older, though.
In the movie, H, instead of being a tall Caucasian male in a suit, she was a cybernetic
orc or something like that.
And,
whatever.
Yeah.
But
like her Oasis.
Her Oasis, yeah.
Her avatar.
Avatar.
Like the very first time when Parzival, when he figured out that the first gate was the Tomb of Horrors, I went, oh my god, and I went into my Dungeons and Dragons stuff and I found it because I still have my copy of the Tomb of Horrors. I still have my copy by Gary Gygax.
So did you pull the map out and follow his path?
He was reading.
No, I mean, some of the stuff I memorized, but at the part I go, wait a minute, he wasn't sitting on his throne. and then he pulled out the Joust game, and I go, I played that too! I sucked at it, but I played it. I always got knocked off. And then, yes, I've played Black Tiger. It took me many, 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 many hours and many, many stolen quarters for me to eventually beat the game with one quarter. I actually have done that.
That's cool.
And it was a fun game. But Tempest, no. I sucked at that game. All the other DOS games that he was playing, I remember playing that, but I was just... Yeah, Text Adventures. Yeah, I remember playing all that on my friend's computer. I did that, and I eventually got my own Commodore 64, and I was playing the Dungeons and Dragons video games where you had to write in all the DOS codes, and then eventually my floppy disk would wear out. And then, yes, I played all the Atari games. I sucked at Pac-Man.
I think all of us sucked at Pac-Man.
Yeah, but honestly... I think if I was a person in that world, I would be a sixer. Mm. I totally would, because I'm not sure if the general audience that's going to be listening to this podcast knows what a grinder is, but that's what most video gamers do when they want to level up and be more powerful. They just stay in the same area where it's easy, and they just keep on doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, and your level of your character gets up, and then you can go to an easier area or the next level area, and you just walk right through the enemy.
Many Pidgeotos have died in Pokemon.
Oh, most definitely. And then that's what I think the Sixers did there, or else they wouldn't have so many characters at level 99. It takes a special person just to be able to sit there for hours on end.
Making the climb to 99.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
It takes a special person. Because I remember when I was on unemployment in 2008 till 2010, and I sat... and played Final Fantasy VII for hours and hours until I stopped the clock. It stops at 99 hours and 99 minutes. And I just kept on going and going and going. And at the end, I wasn't even at the end of the game. I could do max damage with the Buster Sword. That's the initial sword that you get at the very beginning of the game. And I could max damage out on that. At the And I wasn't even at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Sixers needed. They need people like that to be able to do that, because your average person doesn't have the patience to do that. Mm-hmm. They're going to get bored and want to go on.
Well, also, like,
they're getting paid.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's a steady income in a post-apocalyptic world.
Definitely.
Like, I can't blame the Sixers. Yes, you're working for an evil corporation, but as somebody who's worked for several evil corporations, like, you take the paycheck.
Well, yeah. Most definitely. And sure, they would probably treat little peons like me like crap, because that's what upper management does, but it is a steady paycheck in a post-apocalyptic world.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize, like, hey, it takes a special type of person to be able to do that. To consistently do something like that. And yes, I would have a permanent job there. And yes, I would have voted for the Sixers, because the real odds of any of these characters achieving what Wade did is the odds are really, really, yeah, are horrible.
Yeah.
And with the corporation having so much backing, it was most likely that they would achieve the goal, because they could buy everything. So why not work for them when real life is so desperate. I mean, these people are living in stacks, just mobile homes stacked up, and the whole place is just a crap hole.
Death trap.
Yeah, it's so bad. So I would totally work for somebody to have steady money like that.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be insane not to.
Mm-hmm.
But there's only one thing I didn't like about the book. We'll get into that. But almost every single thing about this book, I really enjoyed it because I could relate to almost all of it. So, go ahead, Maylene.
Well, like a lot of, everyone else, I liked the book, just the whole thing. It was really awesome. Very few complaints that I can list, and most of them are just, personal things about myself, I think my favorite character is H. I will also agree with that. Just the fact that, she could talk to Wade and be like, look, you're full of crap. Like, if he needed to hear it, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And also, I think my favorite scenes were the scene, during the first gate where he had to reenact the movie. Like, mm-hmm. as a character.
Ferris Bueller's
Day
Off.
War Games.
War Games.
Yeah. I don't even know how many times I've seen that movie.
Like, I think everyone has those movies where, I can recite it, word for word.
Labyrinth. You and me? Yes. You do Labyrinth.
Yes. I even thought about that
Labyrinth, but, I mean,
you don't want to go that way. That way.
We
keep on going down that way. She's going straight to the castle.
Yeah, I think that we all
I
have
I don't think
movies.
I've seen a movie that many times.
Conan.
Maybe.
Yes. I liked Lady Hawk being referenced so many times.
Oh, Lady Hawk is totally canon.
The moment they got to Lady Hawk, I go, Brandon, you got to read this book right now because you're going to like it.
I remember watching Lady
Hawk.
I
love Lady Hawk.
I do too.
Watching War Games and Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah.
And I just went, wow.
That and the Monty Python. I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I love that.
And then you got bonus points for actually acting it out.
Acting
too.
Out, yeah.
Accents and things. Honestly, I'm with that one.
I don't know if I could do accents, but I could definitely.
Like, where is this type of virtual reality? We should have this.
Right? Like, if there were a game where you had to, do that, I would totally play that game with some of my favorite movies.
I'm sorry, but you guys would never see me again. Because I would be Parzival. And this would be I don't want to be here.
Right? Yeah.
They're working on it. There's a lot of companies working mm-hmm. on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's some pretty cool ones.
I've been seeing some, watched a couple of videos in the past two or three weeks. I forget what it's called, but it's a VR space where people go, they have create their avatars and they go interact with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They have clubs and they... go party and dance at the clubs and all sorts of activities that they can do in that space. And as I was sitting there reading it, I said, that's the beginnings of Oasis right there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's starting to happen.
I think just a lot of the references, anytime I got a reference, I go, oh my gosh, that's amazing that they talked about that, or that's awesome.
I know what that is.
Right?
I got that reference.
Yeah, exactly. there are several moments like that for me, like, oh, I got that, I know that, like the fact that you even mentioned briefly Labyrinth, I'm like, hey, that one, I know that one. So, yeah, I liked a lot of the references when... they would say something and I'd laugh because I understood what they were talking about, or or sometimes they would say things, and I also liked the fact that even though his virtual reality character couldn't really go anywhere because it cost money to transport or whatever, I liked that.
That's just the problems of a noob character.
Yeah, it is. It's a problem of a character that once you start leveling up more, like any gamer knows, once you start leveling up, okay, the problems that were down here are no longer the problems up here.
Because all you really have to do
in a type of scenario like that is grind, mm-hmm. like how I was saying. Mm-hmm. And eventually you're just going to get spare equipment that you don't need anymore.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to sell it on the black market, which is a pure reference from World of Warcraft, where they used to be able to sell old equipment, and also from Diablo 2. Uh-huh. Diablo and Diablo 2.
People were making money off of.
Yes, they would, uh-huh. They would be selling this stuff on eBay, and then when someone bought it, they would meet the character online, and then they would drop it, and then they would, mm-hmm. that person would get it, but they paid for it for real.
Uh-huh.
And they did a funny thing on it with the Big Bang Theory, where Sheldon stole the sword, and then he's putting it on eBay, and then Howard bought it. I am the sword master. And that's how Parzival made his money.
Yeah.
That's how he'd be able to do that, because mm-hmm. he would already be maxed out, but he'd still be searching everywhere.
Yeah.
Trying to look for clues, mm-hmm. and he'd be beating up monsters that are easy to kill because he's maxed out level 99 by then, and he'd be collecting all this different treasure, and all that coin doesn't really matter, but the stuff that he was probably selling for real.
Yeah, well, also the credits that he earned in the game acted as real currency in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. So but
that was
I thought
that was interesting.
I mean, yeah, I could see that, but
not at that point. Like he would go to like when he bought his suit.
Yes,
he bought it through the game, and they mailed it to him. You know.
Yeah,
and also when he went to that cafe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I liked that he. I mean, it was smart of him. They didn't bring that up at all in the movie, but you know, all these people wanted his endorsement when he's the first one to get the first key, and he. Made bank on that. That was good. He needed that.
Yeah. Yeah. Able to live on it for a whole
royalty
year.
Money. Yeah, for a year. So yeah.
That was very very smart. And that I mean they don't really explain how he would get the money or how the credits, but since I'm a gamer, I knew exactly mm-hmm. how he would just be selling off old equipment that he doesn't need.
Yeah.
That is just I got stuff that's better. But lower level people, like the one, like the level, the little low guy that he was teasing, and when he was an IOI worker, how come I can't use this sword?
Hot cock 007.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And then he was
like,
basically
well.
Yeah, and he said, I just paid a crap ton of money for this thing, and he's basically buying somebody else's used equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're not a high enough level to
you
use
have
it.
To be yeah. level 10 to use this weapon, sir.
What am I going to do with it? I'm going to just save it until you're level 10.
I love how Parzival was like trying to be sarcastic, but then the notice would pop up, you are being rude. It's like,
yeah.
Okay, well.
And then you got added time or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's how they would make the credits. They'd be selling mm-hmm. off their equipment that they don't need anymore, and that's how they make the credits.
Yeah.
So, Millie, anything else?
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty that I'm thinking of, or can't think of. I liked how he was able to infiltrate, the Sixers by pretending to be, in debt.
Right. That was pretty crafty.
It was. It's like, because the whole time he was there, I'm like, okay, what are you doing? I know you got something funny, but what are you doing here? Like, why are you, I don't get it. And then once,
and then you're like, what the heck are you doing?
Once it started to unfold, I'm like, okay, I see.
How did you get arrested? You've been covering your tracks so
long.
Yeah,
I know. I was like, why? Oh, wait, you did it on purpose? Okay, what's going on? So once I saw everything, I was like, okay.
Just so we could get that shield down.
Yeah.
Well,
otherwise they were never going to get
smart.
It. Yeah. Oh,
Johnny Five.
I loved it, right? He just programmed it at a certain
Johnny
time.
Five
oh, go off
life.
Over the cliff.
Yeah. I love how once he's in the system, he could just make...
Requisition
like for equipment. Like, I just love that.
He was part of the maintenance crew.
Yeah.
I just remember when we were talking about stuff. I really like the part where he and Artemis meet. He's just beat the Lich King.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, she's like, oh, you? And she pegs him for being a low level. Like, she gives him a hard time and pegs him for being low level. And he's like,
She's like, because all that stuff you have on, you found here. I know, I've been through here. And the only reason you use that is if you have nothing better, you know? She called him out, man. I like that.
So that's most of my pluses. So, Brandon.
I'm sorry, but if I could make real money by just getting in-game credits, I'd be like a trillionaire by now. Mm-hmm. With how much I grind and sell crap.
Like, I'm a hardcore nerd. I'm up there. I have drank with Power Rangers in real life.
Are you saying that your credentials are?
I got nerd credentials. I got all the references. And it's like, okay, I know that. There's one thing when he's bragging about his nerd credentials. There's one thing that popped me. I was like, oh, that's good, because I don't know that. And he goes, I know all the names of all the Transformers and GoBots.
Yes.
Whoa.
I was like, I don't know any of the names of the GoBots.
I used to watch GoBots, and I can't find hardly squat on the internet about them.
The GoBots. Everyone, when I was growing up, everyone thought, like, now, GoBots, those are just the poor people Transformers.
They were great, you know, especially the one guy.
GoBots came out first.
The one, yeah, especially the GoBot that ate everything. He just ate. It was just garbage.
It doesn't really matter if the GoBots were first. The Transformers were more advertised, and then when GoBots were selling their toys, I used to tease the kids, because I was like 12 or 13 when that came out, and kids would have GoBots. I go, you can't afford a Transformer.
Yes, David was the bully.
There's two things that came to mind reading this. Like, you know how when you're reading a book that's set in an alternate reality or alternate timeline from our own, it's very close to our own, but you know,
Something's different.
I have a theory. Two things had to have happened in order for the Oasis to emerge, or at least the world of this book. One is Congress never ratified the copyright. Right? When Congress set up the copyright in Article 4 of our Constitution, it was originally established as 10 years from the creation of the work, then it would go into public domain. Disney has now sued to where it's now 100 years after the death of the creator. But that's the only way everything could be in the Oasis, is if copyright had never been extended.
Right.
Because everything is in the Oasis.
Oh, yeah.
So that was just one thing that clicked in my brain. And the other thing is...
Nerd.
Yeah.
But... Mm-hmm. Nothing really existed outside of the Oasis. So the Oasis was the only place those things could really exist.
Anymore.
It's true. That's true. Yeah. It's not like Wade's leaving and going to see the theater down the street.
Right.
So you might...
He would leave and go to the internet cafe down the street.
The way I understood it...
To log into the Oasis.
The way I understood it is the Oasis is a public domain where any company can put their content in this domain
for
anybody to access as long as...
So it could still be so it.
They could still do it without needing the copyright.
They would have their own planet. Uh-huh. Or, you know, solar system, galaxy or something, you know. And, you know, planet for each... Disney princess, I don't know, whatever, you know, instead of...
I'd totally visit there.
Right? planet for each, like, you know, each land, like at Disneyland, would have their own, would be their own planet or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. But they would charge whatever they want to get the people to come to their area.
The Oasis is like the internet.
And it would be the happiest place on Earth, so it would not, there'd be no POP. There'd be no PvP. No player versus player, because it's the happiest place on the Oasis. That's what they'd call it, you know.
So that's interesting. But the other thing is, like, debtor's prison was never abolished.
Right. Well, I think that they just found a new way to go around that. I don't know. Well, I mean, yeah, it is. It is a form of debtor's prison. I think that they just... With things falling apart, they managed to reinstate it and get through.
Because, you know? I mean... How can you claim bankruptcy when there's nothing out there?
Yeah. Either,
people are just going to take advantage of it and just get what they want and just go bankruptcy because there's nothing out
what
there.
What you're seeing happening, too, is the power is shifting from the political structure to the international multi-corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can handle things a little differently.
Right, because there's what Wade said, it was an election year and he didn't care who was actually running on the planet, but he did care who was running to be in charge of the Oasis, and they voted for Wil Wheaton, which is the guy who, by the way, if you have the audio version, he's the one who narrated it. So that's awesome.
At least with the one that I
the one that we have.
No,
Wil Wheaton. And Wil Wheaton and whoever the other person was, I don't remember. But I remembered Wil Wheaton.
Yeah, they're really good about users' rights.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, that's awesome. That's awesome. Wil Wheaton's narrating this thing.
My favorite part outside of like that is the prison break moment where you know, and he gets stopped right at the end, like, excuse you, you're leaving from here. Oh yeah, thank you.
Right.
Yeah. That's a lot of blood. No, it's okay.
I'm good.
Like, she was genuinely concerned. That's a lot of blood there, you know.
Right. Yeah.
I was thinking that he was gonna get caught.
Right, right at the end there.
Yeah.
You know, he's literally in the belly of the beast.
Yeah. And then when the guy at the cyber cafe was telling him, yeah, it's going to cost you 13 big ones. Yeah, and then he was surprised that it just went through, or 16 big ones or whatever it was. And all he did was put his thumb in and went through. And he's like, whoa.
Yeah.
He was just shocked that he just had all that money.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Or you could buy a pistol right out of
the vending machine.
Right.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh, I forgot one part that I also liked was when earlier on in the book, when they're in the basement and something falls over and they're like, it must have been a glitch. Like, I knew something was going to happen, but I completely forgot about it.
I totally thought it was that... that IROC guy spying on them invisibly because he had access to the basement.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought, and I was like,
so
crap.
When it was Ogden, I'm like, oh, I completely forgot about that.
I love it.
Because I thought it was IROC too for a long time.
And I kept waiting for that to come back and look in the butt.
I honestly thought that IROC was going to become a Sixer.
Yeah. I would have seen that coming.
They use them in the movie.
There's a...
It's not
a bounty hunter in the movie, and they use that name for him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's not at all the same character.
The only reason why I didn't suspect IROC as spying on them, because I saw that for half a second, but the only reason why I didn't buy into it was because, he's too dumb. Like, he would be like, I'm here, or, he would have, like, let on.
You guys are idiots! Oops!
Or he would have knocked something over.
So it's like, that guy's a moron. If he can pull off being invisible, I'd be impressed.
But I thought it was him. for a long time.
Again, I mentioned a lot of things. The robots, the Japanese Spider-Man. I mean,
Spider-Man.
That's the other thing with Wil Wheaton reading the audiobook. Yeah. He pronounces everything correctly.
He's a nerd too, and he knows.
I was listening to the History of Marvel, and the narrator kept referring to Submariner as the Submariner.
Oh, God.
And I'm just I get it. I just get so heated. I was like, no one in the booth stopped you? So it's like, I really loved the book. It was really well done. I saw the movie. And then after reading the book, I realized I didn't like the book or the movie as much as I did, because the book is so much better.
It is, but I still like the movie for what it was. I'm glad that I saw the movie first.
That's the way to do it.
If I would have read the book first, I would have been a little disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe not hated, but definitely disappointed.
I could totally see why they did that.
Because, yeah, I can too, but I just...
Because if you really think about what we read, and they would have put by the book in there, the movie would have been boring to a lot of the
I don't know. You go back and you watch some of the older 80s
older
80s movies. There's video game sequences that work.
Well, I know, but still, your average audience wouldn't have got half the references in
there. That's true.
And they would have been bored with the movie.
For me, I kind of come between on the movie. Like, I totally get it, like you said, why they changed it, because it's not going to be as appealing visually. Yeah. Okay, that part I totally get. But there are other things that... I wouldn't say bothered me about the movie, but I would have liked to have
seen it. They could have done the Pac-Man game.
Like,
they wouldn't have had to show the whole thing, but they could have showed him starting
like a little bit of montage.
Maybe like, gone to someone else, because you know, showing someone else get a key and then go back to him finishing the game. You know?
6 hours
later. Yeah! Right. A montage to Pac-Man fever.
Right.
I really...
Yep.
Kind of irked me a little bit. Because once you thought about it, I'm like, okay, I get it. There are certain characters, like, I feel like I wanted more Ogden in the movie, just because he had, like, just a little bit in the movie.
Dad hasn't seen it, so.
Yeah, so he wasn't as much in the movie as
in the book, he was described as a combination of Einstein and Santa Claus.
Like, I'm sorry, what's his name, who plays him in the movie, is just wrong casting.
And the other thing is that I-Rock was way too much in the movie.
Well, he was a different character.
I think his character in the movie was more of a comic relief.
Yeah, he was.
Completely different in
He the wasn't movie. The same character no. at all.
He reminded
me. More of a Weasley Randall in the
movie. He reminded me of the stoner... groundskeeper in Caddyshack. You know, and number two where he shoots gets the bolt in his butt.
Those are the only two things I would have changed about the movie.
Right.
But, okay.
Alright, negatives, discontents.
I don't know. As many times as I've read this thing and listened to it over the past several years, you would think I would have something bad to say about it, but I can't think of anything at the moment.
A couple times I was like, okay, that's enough information. Like, I don't need all of that information to get where you're going. Just a couple times. Mostly in the beginning part, like the first part one of it, where he's going and giving us all this background information so we can go back to... I'm like, it was a little more than I needed, to be honest. But, you know, I mean, most of it was important. Maybe not quite all of it. But most of it was important, so I'll give him that. But... aside from that, I don't know. I liked it. I did. It was. I mean, I got mad when Daito died. You know, Shoto Daito.
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 I didn't even know how to pronounce it. Like Daito, Daito, like
Daito.
Daito. I was sad when he died. You know, that sucked. But
I honestly thought those deaths. The death of them was really unnecessary. You didn't really need to do that to...
Yeah, because those guys were a-holes. That one guy was so determined to win that he was willing to kill.
I understand that, but I honestly think that with a corporation such as IOI, they really didn't need to do that.
They probably didn't need to do that, but...
But if it was just him doing it just to kill him, it was stupid because with... them having the shield, they could just prevented them from getting into the castle.
Well, here's the thing. You mentioned in the book, like, when they show up on the board, like, IOI stock prices became, you know...
Fluctuated.
Of course.
Killing them was probably... Taking them off the board was a stock move.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
It had, you know, probably had nothing to do with...
Possibly.
You know, like, we're just going to take the high five off the board... And our stocks are going to be level out.
Yeah, because they'll see, IOI's gaining, and their stock prices go up. Yeah, okay, I can see that.
Like it's
all about the money.
Yeah, it's business.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Especially the part where Parzival said, hey, I want your job.
Oh, that was awesome. They were willing to deal, too. I was like, I wish they'd kept that in the movie.
And they were going to let Parzival take his job.
Yep.
And he was surprised. Oh, wow, they're going to fire me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he said, you can kiss, what did he say? You can kiss my ass or something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, anything else negative, Bonnie?
No, that was my negatives.
Wayne?
I was sad when Mrs. G died.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The lady in the stack?
The cat lady.
At the bottom. Yeah. The one at the bottom. It was like... It, the grandmother character to him.
Necessary.
His only real life friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He only had two friends at that point: H on the Oasis and her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
she made sure he ate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
she kept him alive and healthy.
Didn't feel so bad for his aunt and uncle, but
no, it wasn't even his uncle. It was his aunt's boyfriend, whatever.
Yeah, that didn't really bother me. But you know, and they thought they'd killed him off.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And
Wade Watts was definitely a very smart kid.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. And he was a natural at the old video games. That was something that he just had extra skills. That's why he won on Joust the first time, plus the practice, but he was a natural.
The only reason why they knew where he lived in the first place was because he wasn't thinking in terms of, keep my identity secret at that point.
Yeah,
when he was a kid.
They looked it up. From the school records.
They bribed the principal. But even then, like, he didn't think, I shouldn't even tell the principal where I live. He wasn't thinking that at all. That's the only reason why.
That was
part of the school records.
The school record. So, like, he wasn't thinking that. That's literally the only reason. It's because they
bribed
him.
You would literally have to create a different account.
Yeah.
Or H, she had...
H did. Her mom helped her do that when she was a kid.
Or H had the van with the solar panels. So she could just... drive around wherever.
I was wondering how much gas was to move RV.
No, it was solar.
No, it was solar.
It was a solar.
It was electric.
It was electric. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought the solar was just to run the power in there.
To run the whole thing.
Okay. Never mind.
Electric.
So Wayne.
So, yeah, that it just.
It really worked to make you hate IOI, though, right?
It did. It did its job.
It made its job. It identified the villain.
Early on. Yeah, it did. You know, and then, you know, when they killed Daito, that's when you really start
to
hate the bad guy. Yeah. But that was just, you know, good story writing that...
You can ask Brandon after I got to that part. I got to Dido's death just as Brandon was coming home one night from work. And I was in the bedroom. I hear him come in. I open. I go, that's some bull crap. Like, it's real. And he goes, what? I go, they killed Dido? He starts laughing. I go, like, 5 minutes. That's some bull crap. Like, cause I didn't say crap. But, yeah. So.
Yeah. But, it was... I'll leave that for final thoughts, David.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had one negative thing. They rushed it too much, as Justin said, because I cannot stand the band Rush.
Oh, yeah, there's like two chapters dedicated to the love of Rush.
I cannot stand them. They are the only musical group on the radio out of every single musical genre created that I will physically shut the radio off if they come on.
Wow.
Not a Rush fan.
Not at all.
Rush fan, but he knows enough about them to shut them off.
Yes.
So he knows their music.
Yes. They are wannabe Black Sabbath, in my opinion. I cannot stand them. Geddy Lee sounds like an elf. And I just like, oh my god. And the reason why I know about them so much is because my sister is a Rush fan. And she used to play that shit all the time. And we'd have radio wars. I'd be playing my growling, unintelligible music. Slayer and Iron Maiden and Megadeth and Metallica. And she'd be playing Rush. And I was happy that my stereo was better. Because my music was louder. But that's the only thing that I did not like.
Interesting house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I lived upstairs, and my grandma, she would have to turn the TV up to get over our music, and she'd eventually come upstairs and pound on our doors to have us shut the radios down. But that's the only thing out of this whole book that I did not like about it was Rush. But it's not negative for the story. It's just a personal preference for me.
When
I just
the book
don't
is
like Rush.
Predicated on deep cut, and it's something you don't care for, like, yeah, I could see that.
I just could not stand it. I'm like, oh man, they could have done without Rush. They could have played any other band but Rush. And that's the only negative thing I like that I didn't like about it.
I think the only real problem I had with it was there's that period of time after he moved into the hotel room and, you know, he's like backing out the curtains and everything, when he got so depressed about Artemis not talking to him that he took his eyes off the prize and basically just, like, okay, he tried to figure out the clue, but I don't think his heart was in it at that point.
Oh, his heart was set on her.
And
he was an idiot.
All I could think of is, man, you haven't even really known her long enough to really, like...
Yeah.
I get, like, you liked her before you met her, and you
followed her. She was better than him as far as that goes.
But, you know...
And he thanked her at the end, at least, because he was an idiot.
It was
but a
cyber crush.
It was a cyber crush, and it's like, okay, I get it, you are sad you're not talking to her, but... Can we just focus more of your energy towards what your original goal was? Like, you even stopped talking to H because you were so obsessed with being with Artemis and everything. And I can't completely blame H for not being happy, you know.
Right.
Because he was basically figured out.
Friend,
Well, I could see where that point came from, because there's many times in probably a guy's life where... Once they get a girlfriend, they're ignoring their other friends.
And girls do that too.
Yeah.
And yeah, and that happens.
You don't hear from them. And that's basically what happened there. And then when she basically blew him off, he became depressed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I get that you're, you know, I'm not trying to lessen his depression any, but it's like, you know, he just totally I don't want to say gave up, because he was trying, kind of, you know, but it wasn't near. And it's just the way it came off to me was more whiny.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Maybe if he wasn't as whiny about it, I'd sympathize with him more, you know? But I don't know. That was really my only main...
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with that. I just wanted to do whatever.
So, but that
the dude, he just really cared for her, and she blew him off, and it just really hit him.
Yeah, so... Like I said, if he wasn't so whiny about it at times. Oh, and the only other thing, and this is a very small thing, like to the point where it was more of an irritant and not necessarily a dislike. There were times, you know, when Bonnie was like, okay, move on.
Yeah.
Like, there were times where he was like, I know such and such by heart. I've done this, you know, but I know, you know, I've read the diaries a bazillion times, whatever. There are a couple sections where it's like, okay, I know you've said the same thing last time. You're an expert. Right. I get it. You know, like, you don't have to tell me two more times how much of an expert you are in Halliday.
I can understand where you're going with that, because that's a typical guy attitude. It is. It's a guy attitude.
Is it?
It's basically bragging to another guy that I know more.
That I know more than you do. Yeah.
There's a lot of that in nerd culture.
Yep.
And unfortunately, I've seen a lot of nerd culture turn toxic because of it.
Yep.
Like
it hence the game actually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I get it.
No, there's actually...
I get that.
I just did it!
Actually, there's a game called Actually.
No, I'm just getting the name, like, because a lot of guys say, well, Actually, you know, this.
Yeah, and the whole thing is the host has a stack of cards
hook, line, and sinker, man.
he has a stack of cards about genres of nerddom, and each... statement has one incorrect thing, and they have a panel of three nerds on there, and there's two rules. One, as soon as you hear what's wrong, you can interrupt me at any time. Two, you have to say actually before you give me the correction or I can't give you the point.
It's a game show.
Yep.
Nice.
I love it.
I have to watch that.
What channel is that on again?
I watch it on YouTube because it's part of the College Humor.
College Humor channel.
But yeah, you can go on to YouTube and just do a search for actually.
I've seen some of it.
Anytime I hear someone say something wrong now, I want to say that. Actually. Even if it's something really small.
Actually, don't you mean tiny?
actually, no, no.
Sorry.
No, like, yeah, I've seen, like, in my lifetime, I've seen nerd culture turn negative in some serious aspects.
I have a friend, my best friend, her husband. He goes on these rants when the costumes of comic book characters don't match in the movie to the comic book strip.
You have one too?
Uh-huh.
Well,
I couldn't.
No, I've gone on several tangents.
Actually, he's going to correct you.
I know, right?
my main complaint about that is, like, if you were going to see a movie, this is a tangent. But if you're going to see a cinematic adaptation of Little Women, when you want the book to be represented in the movie,
the story will be there.
Right, the story, though. In a lot of comic book movies, like the first Punisher film, he doesn't even wear the skull.
Yeah, right. It's okay. I'm ragging on you, legit.
No, like, I get upset at the comic book movies because they don't. Seem to enjoy the source material a lot of times. A lot of older comic book films are like, why are we even doing this?
Yeah.
And
I really,
you know, like, or like
it.
Changing Wolverine.
Bonnie, you know
origin.
Better than to start.
I know.
Yeah. Brandon, what are we talking about? Not taking the bait.
No, he's fine. He didn't get mad. I remember one time talking about something. I won't even say what. And he got really like, he's like yelling at me. I'm like, I never read the comic book. I like the movie. Leave me alone. Wait, that was years ago. You've improved a little. You don't come out quite so volatile.
actually,
just like. Well, but no, when your identity is attached to something, it can.
No, I get it. Yeah. I get it. I get nerdy about certain things too.
Yeah. So my big negative thing was I love the book.
Yeah.
I killed it. At work listening to it, like literally finished it over a couple of days, and I was so pumped.
I just want to interject here. This is the first time in our book club that he's finished a book before I did.
Unless he'd already previously read it.
Right,
yeah.
Wow. Every other time, if neither.
That's a 16-hour listen on the thing.
Because if there's a book that neither one of us read, we're both reading it. Me reading the physical copy, not even the audiobook, I will finish before him.
Right.
Well, I tend to push things off to the
last second.
I'm a painter, so procrastination happens. But like, I killed the book. I was like, oh my God, I know there's a sequel. I'm going to jump right into the sequel because I was high off the end of the first one.
Big mistake.
I know a lot of people say this, it's bad. It is really bad. Like, the sequel I wrote in my head is better
than the sequel.
Sequel that I got.
Well, don't ruin it for people.
I'm not.
Don't read the sequel.
Don't read the sequel because it has.
That's what I was told, so I didn't.
You were smart. It can negatively affect the first book because there's things you learn in the sequel that's like, oh well, now I don't like that guy. Now I know this about that guy, or that guy knew this the whole time. And I will say this, it has a couple of cool moments.
But it's not redeemable.
It's not redeemable. There's one cool thing in the sequel where there's a planet in the Oasis that is dedicated to all the John Hughes films. Where all the John Hughes films are happening simultaneously.
That's cool.
At the same time. So, like, they go to the high school, and then they see the one actress from Pretty in Pink.
Molly Ringwald.
Well, yeah, see Molly Ringwald. And they turn the corner and then they see Molly Ringwald from the Breakfast Club. You know, and
yeah, it's all happening at the same time.
It's all
the same,
and while they're in the hallways, kids coming down the hallway, save Ferris Bueller. You know, so like it's that particular mission in the second book is really cool, and it's this love letter to John Hughes.
I like John Hughes movies. I grew up with those.
Yeah. Like it's this beautiful love letter to John Hughes, but that one mission doesn't redeem the damage that the book does to the overall continuity of the universe.
Oh, that sucks. So that's the only good part.
Yeah.
What chapter's it in? I'll just read that.
Yeah.
Right. No, it's okay. I'm just messing.
Like,
I know it exists. That's all I need to know.
It takes place 8 days after the first one, and it's all downhill.
Oh, that's sad.
That's dumb.
So, like, I would say avoid the sequel, because the sequel literally hurt the first one for me.
That's just not cool. Because the first one's amazing. It's such a good book.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell you what is revealed in the second one, because I don't want to.
Please don't, because I don't want to know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but what's the negative that you didn't like about this?
Yeah, that's book two.
Book one is retroactively hurt by book two. Like, there are characters.
That's what he's saying.
That's what I'm saying. There's things revealed in book two that's like, oh, you no longer like this character.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's like, oh, like, that's not cool.
So it negatively affected his memory of book one and the experience. So he's saying,
okay,
if you like this book, don't read the second one. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist.
It's going to change.
It's not canon.
It.
Yeah.
Book two is not canon. Ready Player Two? No.
No.
Ready Player Two.
That's the name of the sequel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like Ready Player
Two. Just treat it like fan fiction that you don't like.
Right?
Like
it. I probably will not go back and read one after reading two.
Oh, wow.
And Justin was saying he's read one multiple times.
Yeah.
And I came up, I was ready to reread number one after just finishing one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the book ends high. Like, I love that.
Book two, it doesn't.
It's
not canon.
The book,
not
canon.
Yeah, just like Highlander 2.
Right? Which he commented in the book.
Highlander 2, bad.
Oh, that was something also that was funny. He loves the first, you know, Indiana Jones movies, but everything Crystal Skull and afterward. Which that's all he did was reference. They're talking about making a new one.
Yeah.
It's in the works right now.
Yep.
So that's like, that makes it funnier, you know, because
like
he left it open to
2013, I think.
2011.
So he left it open for like, oh yeah, there's gonna be more Indiana.
And all of them through the Holy Grail, the Holy Grail was good. After that, no. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was funny. I like all of them, but I thought that was funny.
The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull sucked.
But it fit the time frame and the time period.
Because the time period from the first movies,
the Nazis were the villains. The time period of the next thing, it was all about the atomic bomb. It was all about the Russians. It was all about aliens.
Yes.
It fit with the time period.
I know. I just...
it's okay.
Because each movie was geared for a different decade.
I know.
That's okay. You don't have to like Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. He obviously didn't.
No, I thought that
movie
was funny.
Was poo.
All right, final thoughts. Don't read book two.
Read book two.
It doesn't
exist. Read book one.
It's a shame they didn't write a sequel.
Especially if you were born in the 70s.
Or 80s. Or just love the 80s, even if you weren't born then.
Read the book.
Because the 80s are coming back.
You will enjoy it immensely.
If you are at all a nerd, read the book. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was my. Out of 10?
Oh, for me, I would give it a 10 out of a 10. But
actually, I probably would too. I really liked it.
I'm easily amused.
So. I would rate it 10 out of 10. This is the best book I've read in a long time.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good book.
It was a really good book, and I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. You've read a lot of books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Saying something.
I put off reading this one. It was like I didn't want to get into it. I didn't want to get into it. Then I started it, and it was done in 3 days.
Because
so.
You couldn't put it down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember, like, you were the first one. You're like, finished it. And it was like a week after book two.
But that's unfair. Wayne's always the first one to finish.
Just about, yeah.
I'm giving it a 9.5 because of the rush references.
I thought it was 9.9.
9.9? Okay. Yeah. A 0.1 for Rush? Yeah, okay, yeah. We'll do that.
9.9.
If you don't like Rush, then yeah, you're not going to like those part of the book.
Maybelline.
I'd give it a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with Rush. I mean, I don't listen to them.
I don't either, but I don't have a, I'm indifferent.
I'm indifferent. I don't
right,
have an opinion.
Me too. Brandon?
7.5?
No. Before you read book two, what would you have given this?
Before book two, 10.
Okay, so book two doesn't exist. It's a 10.
Yeah.
Lewis wasn't here. Hopefully he gives it a 10 too.
Well, I'm sure he'll
try to pull him aside and record his thoughts.
Yeah, this was a good book. Justin? Great pick.
That was a good
read one. Ready Player One. Ready Player Two is non-existent. It is not canon. Ignore it.
He does have another book.
Yeah.
That is more like Last Starfighter.
Oh,
where it's a video game kid who gets sucked into space to.
Yeah, I read the thing about that, but I forgot about it.
He has
didn't
another
they make
book.
That into a movie too?
Yeah.
No.
Don't read Ready Player Two. That's second place.
Not even. It's not even better than Maze Runner.
Wow. That's pretty bad.
Right?
If Maze Runner
right?
was
right,
better.
Right, Brandon?
Is Maze Runner better?
Than Ready Player Two?
No.
Okay. It's a one. Remember, Maze Runner's a zero. Yeah.
Okay. I pulled one.
Okay, what are we reading?
The next book, The Haunting of Ashford House by Darcy Coates, suggested by me.
All right, which means the next one after that's going to be The Devil in the White City, right?
There's two more
after that.
There's, I think, Devil in the White City and Calhoun's...
Oh, right. Cross Time Saloon. Right. Okay, so we're reading
Cross Time Saloon.
Yeah. A haunted book.
I got them both.
Haunted book. A haunted house book. Remember, we originally drew it
right
after a haunted Hill House, and we're like, no, we're not doing two in a row.
Yeah.
All right.
And then we ended up drawing my other book that I had in there, the Chestnut Man.
Oh, that one was good.
That was a good
I still want to watch the Netflix. I keep forgetting.
It's on my list.
Was it good?
It's very close.
Oh, yeah? Wow.
There's only like little minor little differences.
Nice.
But it's very close.
It's been a while since we did that one, so it'd be nice to watch now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say like it's probably about 95% the same.
Nice.
That's worth it.
It's really close.
Yeah.
And it's 6 1-hour episodes.
I was gonna say, yeah, like it's a mini series.
Yeah,
like,
it's
you know.
6 1-hour episodes.
That's probably why they were able to.
Is it English? Is it Scandinavian with English subtitles?
Yes.
Or do they
Yes, but they also have it dubbed. You can watch both ways.
They have it dubbed. Okay.
Yes, so you have the option of listening to it in English or reading it in English. Either way.
Yeah.
That's dubbed. That's probably why they kept
but
so close.
I always have mine subtitled too.
Some of us can't read that fast.
Yeah. Well, no, David can't either. He's put subtitles with the dubbing.
That makes sense. Yeah.
But
yeah, there's the option of either. So.
Because there's some scenes in there where the kids are singing and they can't dub singing.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're used to watching a lot of dubbed anime.
Yeah,
yeah, I read fast enough that dubbing doesn't bother me. It takes me a little bit
to get into it.
If here's the screen, I'm staring at the bottom reading the dubbing, and then it reaches a point, and I'm watching the movie peripherally, then it'll reach a point where I'm watching the movie and reading the dubbing peripherally.
Yeah. But it's very, very close to the book.
Cool. That'd be worth watching.
I'll have to give it a look.
All right, so we need to close this out.
Yeah, we're the bookies.
Read
Ready Player One. It's good.
Yes, read it.
So that was our thoughts on Ready Player One. I hope you enjoyed the discussion. On our next episode, we're going to be talking about The Haunting of Ashburn House by Darcy Coates. Darcy Coates is an author that both my wife and Bonnie love. I've had the pleasure of meeting Darcy Coates once at Wizard World in L.A., a very lovely woman. My wife spent more time with her than I did. As I'm a cartoonist and at comic book conventions, my number one focus is selling books. Very lovely author, very lovely woman. This book really surprised me. You know, we skip from genre to genre because we draw the books at random. So I hope it's not too much of a shock going from Ready Player One, this tentpole, big budget, you know, kind of crazy 80s nostalgia thing, to a flat-out horror book. And this one's pretty scary. I'm going to admit, it brings the fear. So hope you enjoy next week's. I guess we're going to be posting these weekly until we catch up a little bit on some of the backlog. But I hope you enjoy next week's episode of The Haunting of Ashburn House.